I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Sandy Buffett. She's Executive Director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Always great to be here.
And it's always great to have you before and during the legislative session because, of course, every year there are pro-environment and anti-environment bills that come up in the New Mexico legislative session, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Indeed. Conservation Voters New Mexico works to build the political voice for the environment, and we are a full-time environmental lobbyist at the Roundhouse, tracking all of the bills that could have any impact on our existing safeguards and also bills that seek to move the state forward in environmental protection.
And doing this legislative scorecard that some legislators love and others hate because
right.
You score people on how they do with regard to the environment. What are some
Indeed.
Of the bills that you're supporting this year?
Well, you know, we're almost halfway through the session, and we have released our first edition of our legislative agenda, but we expect a few more bills to be introduced until Valentine's Day in the next couple of days. So we're also really excited, given that our pro-environment margins have increased since the last election. We now
Is that right? We have more legislators who care about the environment in the
Indeed.
New Mexico legislature?
Indeed. In the House, we now have 28 champions and allies, and in the Senate, we have 19 champions and allies, according to our score, the way they score on our scorecard.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, this year really has been great because we not only have Chairman Brian Egolf chairing House Energy and Natural Resources, we also have Senator Peter Wirth as the Senate Conservation Chair, and that just means that bills will get the proper vetting they need. And, you know, we're not yet at a pro-environment majority in either chamber, but we think that we can get several bills through the legislative process and also work to defeat those that seek to weaken our protections on air, land, and water.
As you have successfully done in the past, both killed bad bills and promoted good ones, what are some of the good ones?
Well, we have some really great pro-environment bills this year, and many of them focus on protecting our water. You know, if we lose our water, it's game over for our communities in New Mexico and our economic future. So we have to have common sense safeguards that protect what little water we have. And especially with climate change, we can't afford to contaminate a single drop. So one of the bills that we're supporting is HB 286, the Oil and Gas Modernization Act. It's sponsored by Representative Gail Chasey of Albuquerque and Senator Michael Sanchez of Valencia County. And what it does is it seeks to update the Oil and Gas Act, which was enacted in 1935.
Ah, you think it's time?
You know, the penalty section of that bill has not been updated for decades. And so, you know, that was when Nash convertibles were being driven. And in 1935, the fine from this act, $1,000 a day for pollution, that was equivalent to 2,500 barrels of oil. But today, that's roughly equivalent to 10 to 20 barrels of oil. But the fines have not changed.
Right.
We're talking about one of the most profitable industries on the planet. So this bill would actually just bring us in line with Texas and Arizona to increase criminal penalties on pollution at $10,000 a day.
Very interesting.
It also has... you know, and the current fine structure, that's not even a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And another unreasonable standard that survives in the Oil and Gas Act is that this industry benefits from something called a knowingly and willful standard that the state's Oil Conservation Division has to prove. So that's akin to saying that the Department of Health, in order to assess a penalty, can only that against a restaurant that with rats in their kitchen, they could only do that if they could prove that the restaurant willingly allowed those rats in the establishment.
Oh my goodness.
So we think it's time to harmonize the act with other environmental regulations and give the state some teeth.
Now, there's another bill along the same lines that would allow for people to sue to enforce the Oil and Gas Act to sue as individuals if their property or their lives in some way are being harmed.
Right, and it's broader than just oil and gas. That's called the Environmental Private Right of Action. That is sponsored by Representative Georgine Lewis, a freshman from the Albuquerque area.
Yeah.
We endorsed her in the last election, and she's an attorney. And HB 429 would basically give citizens who are affected by pollution, and if the state is failing to enforce existing environmental laws, that they could petition to stop the company from polluting. And it also gives them a way to recover litigation costs. You know, often these communities don't have the resources to engage a multinational corporation in long litigation. So this private right of action would reimburse litigation costs should the local group prevail.
Very, very interesting. And so where the Oil and Gas Act and the Environmental Improvement Act and Water Quality Act, on the basis of all those, individuals and small communities and so on could seek their day in court.
Yes. And we also have some other great bills. The Representative Egolf's Water Resources Testing and Damages, HB 335. And what this seeks to do is to say that an oil and gas company needs to monitor, especially with fracking, whether or not this issue is a problem. And in many ways, this protects industry because it requires basic testing before and after the fracking operations. And if the testing shows that there were no impacts from the process of contamination, then that bolsters the industry's assertions that there's no problem with it. So,
do they agree?
I expect that this this legislation will be a battle at the legislature.
Yeah.
But we just think it's common sense that communities should know what the baseline of, you know, what what their water quality is before and after those operations.
And fracking looks like it's not going anywhere here in the oil and gas state of New Mexico.
Not going away, yeah. There's also a Representative Egolf bill, HB 136, Disclosure of Fracturing Fluid. And this is simply a right-to-know bill of disclosing what chemicals the companies are using in those operations.
Which seems like, I can't believe we don't already have a law.
I know. Well, you know, there is something that the Oil Conservation Division put into place, but it's truly inadequate because my recollection is it's a disclosure 30 days after the operation, and it's a non-searchable database of thousands of pages of chemicals. So it doesn't really give a community the right to know of what's
being
used.
A non-searchable database.
So
I thought that was an oxymoron.
We always always support the more sunshine and transparency on what pollutants are being put into our air, land, and water.
We're talking to Sandy Buffett of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Now, there's another bill also that you are supporting that sets rules for homeowners associations.
Right. This is Representative Mimi Stewart of Albuquerque, another 100% environmental champion. HB 210, the Homeowner Association Act. This just provides for ensuring that if homeowners are part of a homeowners association and they want to install solar panels or common sense water conservation measures, that this act would limit what HOAs can restrict of their association. So it just, because we, you know, some of these HOAs have been roadblocks to clean energy and water conservation.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you want to have environmentally friendly clotheslines in your backyard?
Well, the act specifically names water conservation and solar measures.
Oh, okay. But not chickens.
That's a little, that would require another piece of legislation.
But okay.
Actually, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
So there are dozens of great bills and memorials, and those are just a few of the ones that we're supporting. And of course, your listeners, if they want to learn more about what bills are, environmental bills are that we're supporting, they can see our full legislative agenda on our website, cvnm.org.
CVNM.org stands for Conservation Voters New Mexico. And yeah, I mean, I was starting to print that out, and there were about 10 pages of good bills and bills that you were opposing. What are some of the ones that you're opposing?
Well, in the last long session, a 60-day session, we opposed and defeated all 69 bills that were on our defense list.
Wow.
So sometimes the list can get very lengthy, but we cannot afford to take one step forward and two steps back in terms of our environmental regulations. So one of the bills that we are opposed to is SB 194, the No Agriculture as a Nuisance. This is introduced by Senator Phil Griego as the sponsor. You know, it really takes defense of polluters to the extreme. It proposes to exempt illegal, improper, negligent agricultural operations from nuisance laws that, citizens can use nuisance law to bring a lawsuit, and this would exempt them from that.
And, oh, my goodness.
You know, CVNM is supportive of the right to farm. And, you know, in the cases where family farms have been there for generations and urban sprawl encroaches upon it and then there's issues, there are right to farm measures on the books. And this is not what this is about. This is really taking it to the extreme, so we oppose that.
All right, what else?
Also, HB 292, the Transfer of Public Land Act, this seems unconstitutional.
it would
actually require an act of Congress for federal lands to be handed over to the states, but this state bill tries to do that, to say that federal lands and many of the federal lands that are protected areas that would then fall back to the state.
Wait. You're saying that this bill would take federal lands and just make them state lands?
Well, it would usurp federal authority and transfer oversight to the state. First of all, we don't have the capacity to do that in terms of managing those lands. But secondly, we don't have the authority to do that.
So that's just weird.
And, you know, there was a Colorado College Conservation in the West poll released last week that said 77% of New Mexicans support our federal public lands. And we believe that those add to the quality of life and in this state and provide access to the outdoors. And so we oppose that bill. And, you know, then there are a couple...
What's up with that bill? Like, what are they trying to do? They just say... that's like saying we take the FBI and make it the state police.
Mm. You know, we don't know what the origin of this bill is, but we have a sense that these types of things are sweeping the country and various state legislatures trying to erode the authority of the federal government. And
yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So,
I mean, not that it's a good idea, but it makes sense as a strategy.
Yeah. So, We expect that, given that 77% of New Mexicans support public lands, that this bill won't move. But
okay.
I just wanted to mention it. And then there are a couple bills that seek to weaken our existing renewable energy standards, and we'll be fighting those. And then there's one bill, our capital outlay request, that we're concerned about, and that is two different requests combined, totaling $100 million for new pipelines down south. One of them would pipe water out of the Gila River, Gila Basin, and the Gila River is our last free-flowing river in our state.
Oh boy!
So
they want to make it into the Colorado River and just take all the water out of
the
it.
The state does not have the money, anyways, for this kind of massive capital project. But given that that was requested by the chair of Senate Finance, Senator John Arthur Smith, we're taking that very seriously, and we'll be watching those. So,
we're talking to Sandy Buffett of Conservation Voters New Mexico, and I just find it perplexing that everybody isn't a pro-environmental candidate, because basically we survive from our environment. If we have dirty land, dirty air, and dirty water, we don't have a good state, we don't have healthy children, we don't have healthy adults, we don't have a good economy. I mean, it's just a lose-lose everywhere, and yet there's this sort of false dichotomy set up between business and environment.
Yeah, it is a false dichotomy. I mean, we cannot prosper as a state if we contaminate our scarce water supplies. And we certainly can't, expect the next generation of kids to be healthy and productive in the workforce if they're missing school because of asthma from ozone and contaminants in our air. So really, keeping our kids healthy as environmental public health issues, keeping our water clean, ensuring that they have access to the outdoors, this is really what we need as a state to prosper. And, you know, I want to go back to that Colorado College poll that was just released. It said that 67% of New Mexicans identify as conservationists. I think these issues, even if someone doesn't identify as an environmentalist, you know, understanding, there's a deep understanding among New Mexicans that that our water is our most precious resource.
Right.
And that we cannot afford to allow our water to be contaminated. But I think the challenge for CVNM, for the conservation movement, and for pro-conservation elected officials is really making the connection between arcane, opaque policymaking and the policymaking process, especially, which is not very accessible to the everyday New Mexican who's just going to work and feeding their kids, that what happens in the roundhouse has real-life implications for our clean water and for our clean energy future. And so that's really the role we play at the roundhouse and in informing New Mexicans, is to serve as that information bridge and also to be the voice for conservation values amidst all of the industry lobbyists that we're definitely outnumbered over there.
Yeah, even though they're a tiny minority, I mean, those industries are a minority mm-hmm. within the citizens of the state, but I think it's also important to really point out that a lot of the people who support conservation values, it's not necessarily partisan. I mean, it right. doesn't, if you support conservation values, that doesn't say anything about your stance on gun laws or mm-hmm. church and state or any of those other issues.
Well, when you go back to where our Environmental Protection Agency and Clean Water Act and those incredibly important national acts were started under President Nixon. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt is one of our great conservationists in our country. So these should be nonpartisan issues. We don't yet see that fully in our state legislature, although we certainly have a few folks on both sides of the aisles that will, you know, are fishermen and that they hunt and that they love to camp. And so I think, and to get to a pro-environment majority, we truly need this to be a bipartisan approach. But, you know, working on conservation issues, that's such a breadth of issues that ranges from renewable energy to oil and gas pollution to planning, 40-year water supply planning to recycling. I mean, there's so many issues. So we work across the aisle on issues that specific issues that we know we can work with folks on both sides of the aisle. But still, unfortunately, it is a challenge. As I said, we're not yet at a pro-conservation majority in either chamber.
You do have a remarkable track record.
Well, it's
killing bad bills, especially promoting good bills.
Yep, and the last seven sessions, we've had 100% rate of success of defeating every one of those pieces of legislation. And we've also passed, things that move the state forward, like in 2010, the Natural Heritage Conservation Act, which established a fund for river restoration, protecting working farms and ranches, but that was $5 million, I believe. So we still have a long ways to go in terms of the need of our state.
You, Sandy Buffett, are going to be leaving Conservation Voters New Mexico at the end of this, what is it, the end of the session or this
after
year?
After the end of the session, yes. It's been 8 really wonderful and inspiring years. And, you know, it's time to take a breather and let someone bring some fresh energy to the organization. And I feel really great about the transition now because the organization is in such a strong place with our level, with our numbers of supporters and activists, a strong board. We just had an incredible election season. We have a political action committee, PAC, and that works to support and elect pro-environment candidates. And when I started, we were at around $40,000 in our PAC, expending in our PAC to elect pro-environment champions. And this last fall, we spent $400,000. We raised and spent $400,000 in the support of pro-environment champions. And that now, you know, when we see the doubling of the number of 100% environmental champions in the legislature over the last 8 years, that's something I find a lot of gratification from.
Well, good work, and thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we will perhaps get an update before the end of the session.
Great. Thank you, Mary Charlotte.